Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Diving back into it on a Red Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. Damn glad to have you, son, coming up for your warm weekend ahead. I'll tell you what, boys and girls, it's your last weekend to get them lights up on the house if you haven't already.
Going to be in the 50s this weekend.
Yep. You know how that guy got a cheese grater into that stadium last night?
Put it on his head.
The guy had a cheese grater and a block of cheese. He brought into the Detroit Lions Green Bay Packers game last night and was shredding cheese in the crowd. The anti-Richard of the week right there. That's a cheese, Richard. Hell of a guy that guy was. I couldn't believe that. Sitting there watching the TV and I'm like, are my eyes open? Am I really seeing a guy with the... with a cheese grater and a Lions jersey, just shredding cheese.
That's pretty good. That's pretty Gouda.
Oh, okay. How long do you have that one in the holster?
Just waiting, man. Just waiting.
What other cheese jokes can you make?
I was trying to get more.
Do you think Patrick Mahomes deserves more cheddar?
I think Patrick Mahomes is a monster among men.
I like that. Very good.
Thank you.
He's a Kraft single amongst quarterbacks.
Oh, those Kraft singles are not good.
But it's a single. He's the only one.
Oh, gotcha.
So
he's going to carve up the Chargers like Swiss cheese.
I think like with anything, you know, when you're running for something, office, whatever it is, whatever level, president, vice president, whatever you run for, you have to have a political campaign to support your side, right? We saw those for about 6 months on TV. I could give one for Patrick Mahomes to be the MVP. So let me give you a list of the odds right now of who are the favorites. Josh Allen is minus 220. The next closest is Saquon Barkley at plus 350. These odds all via DraftKings.
That's next closest.
Correct.
So it goes from minus
220 to plus 350. After that is...
Plus 350.
Yeah. Like that. Is Lamar Jackson at plus 800. So there are two guys clearly in the fast lane ahead of everybody else. Jared Goff is 850. And then after that, is lo and behold number 15 for Kansas City Chiefs at plus 2500.
That's a hell of a bet right now.
So you're starting to smell what I'm cooking. So if you want a chance to join me on this political campaign, feel free. Because at the end of the day today, I'm going to throw $20 on Patrick Mahomes to win MVP. Here's why I believe in what I'm saying. Patrick Mahomes can win out. And if Patrick Mahomes wins out, he checks some massive boxes off for the MVP. He would have one loss on the season. Okay? He'd have one loss on the season. He would do with that as number one and number two wide receivers basically throughout the entire year. For the amount of games he might get with Hollywood Brown at the end of the season, it'll be about the same amount of games he had with Rashee Rice at the beginning of the season. Patrick Mahomes lost his number one running back, who he just got back at this past week. They brought in Kareem Hunt off the streets. Okay, that's been great. Patrick Mahomes has been sacked 20 times in 5 weeks, been sacked 32 times on the year. His last 5 weeks, he has 11 touchdowns, two interceptions, 1,300 yards. They win their division. They win the AFC. They only lose one game. And he continues this pace with a new left tackle where those stats could surprisingly increase. Like, let's say he throws only two interceptions the rest of the year and throws, I don't know, 10 more touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes would then lead the Chiefs to a one-loss record to the playoffs as the number one seed with a massive amount of injuries, getting sacked for a career high in his career. He's going to smash that number. I think it's 34, and now it's already at 32. And Patrick Mahomes would then again take the Chiefs en route to a three-peat to the one seed through Arrowhead, win their division, put up statistics that matter at the time when they should matter, and Patrick Mahomes could surpass everybody for the MVP because Josh Allen could lose to Detroit. That number will change. Saquon Barkley could have a game where he only has 95 yards. That number will change. Lamar Jackson, not going to get it. Patrick Mahomes could leapfrog Lamar Jackson this weekend with a big game, which I think he could have with more time to throw the ball and look at different routes and different reads where you have an actual person at left tackle that can block for him. Patrick Mahomes is not out of the MVP race. He really is not, because there is a chance that they could run the table, and it is a plus 2,500 chance. So again, my political campaign, $20, Patrick Mahomes win MVP, it's a hell of a payout.
It's very much like the Andy Reid coach of the year conversation, where you can make the case every year and you're not wrong. Andy Reid is every year coach of the year. Patrick Mahomes is every year MVP. And ESPN had a thing yesterday, and I don't know if it was their power rankings or what I was reading, but the headline was, why is Patrick Mahomes having an un-Mahomes-like season? It was written by Adam Teicher of ESPN.
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
And he says, besides these exterior inhibitors, Mahomes simply hasn't played well at times. His decision-making and accuracy aren't at the level they've been in previous seasons, and he's tied for third most interceptions in the league. He has missed throws that would have been automatic in the past.
And also just wanted to double-check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
Well, there's reasons why Patrick Mahomes may look like that, and it's all because of the left tackle. It's all because of wide receivers not being there. It's all because of running backs not being there. It's all because of all of these ancillary things that he's had to overcome. Josh Allen really hasn't had to overcome a lot. They traded Stephon Diggs in the offseason, but that was addition by subtraction, much like Tyreek Hill was here in Kansas City. You move a guy out, you get better collectively as a team, right? And that's what happened with Buffalo. They're not overcoming major injuries like Patrick Mahomes has had to overcome. On Sunday, when DJ Humphries is standing out there, number 70 in your programs, number one in our hearts, clearly, that will be the fourth person to play left tackle this year for the Kansas City Chiefs. The fourth person in 13 games, to play left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's an average of 3 games per person at left tackle. When you're constantly changing the most important position on the offensive line, that's not a great thing. That's not easy to do. That guy at left tackle is basically your bell cow. He sets the tempo for the entire offensive line. Everything trickles down from there. That's why it's usually your highest paid player along the offensive line. It is the most important. It protects the blind side, but it also sets the table for that entire offensive line. That has been a major weakness for the Kansas City Chiefs. I would argue that is a bigger loss than Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice combined, that the fact that they haven't had the ability to block on that left side of that line. And I know it's bothering folks inside the organization, and they're ready to see DJ Humphries come into his own and do his thing this week and run the ball down the throats of the Los Angeles Chargers this week. But Patrick Mahomes has overcome so much and is still sitting on top of the AFC with an 11-1 record. And I know I'm an old fart, and I live in a world where actually wins matter more than stats. And when I look at what Patrick Mahomes has done from a winning standpoint, and now kind of overcoming a defense that isn't playing up to par lately, right? Right. Really, since, I don't know, maybe week 10 or so, the defense hasn't really played up to par. Patrick Mahomes is overcoming that. And again, I know I'm an old fart in all this, and I don't value stats the way people today do and all that kind of stuff. I value wins. And Patrick Mahomes, when the game is on the line and he has the football, he's led his team to a win. In, I don't know, that Tampa game, the Carolina game, the Vegas game. How many other quarterbacks are doing that with the depleted roster, the depleted talent, the defensive side of the football, not really giving them an opportunity to take a breath? How you're making a case for anybody else based on MVP, the most valuable player, how you make a case for anybody else other than Patrick Mahomes, to me, it's absolute blasphemy. I just can't fathom it, because at the end of the day, the number one thing to do is win, and Patrick Mahomes has found ways to win so many different ways just this year alone. He's the MVP of the NFL.
If Patrick Mahomes throws for 287 yards this weekend, he'll pass Jared Goff for third in the league in passing yards. Number one, Joe Burrow. Number two, Lamar Jackson. If he throws for 3 touchdowns, he'd be sixth in the league in touchdowns.
I don't think I want to see him throw for that many yards. I want to see them run the hell out of the football this week. I just want to see them pop left.
Well, if I'm going to put $20 on plus 2,500, I want to see him absolutely.
What are you doing over here?
I want to see him run the ball down the throats of the Chargers. Take that pressure off your left tackle. Be able to run the football. Not have it be a factor. Pop left, Kareem Hunt right.
Yep.
Maybe the guy with the alligator up the middle. You know, like mix it up, use the running game. You've got a two-headed monster officially now for the first time. A little bit of testing Pop, you know, on that game against the Raiders. He's ready to go. I'd love to see a two-headed monster with him and Kareem Hunt this week just blast the Chargers defense.
Let's see your talent.
No doubt about it. I just want to see Mahomes hose it, man.
This was Richard Sherman last night on the MVP award.
Statistically, look, Joe Burrow should be the MVP.
Okay, stop. Stop. That's stupid.
Did Drew cut that?
No, that's dumb. That is a crazy, dumb statement by Richard Sherman. Because what you're telling me right there, Richard, is that you don't value winning in the NFL. And that's all I value.
Again, your MVP odds, Josh Allen -220. This is all via DraftKings. Saquon Barkley +350. Lamar Jackson +800. Jared Goff +850. Patrick Mahomes +2,500. $20 going into that account today because I think he can do it if they went out and he continues to just, like I said, hose it out. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you here on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for KC Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Go to DraftKings right now. You can tail Likens $20 on Patrick Mahomes win MVP. He'll get you $520. Hey, done. This is when I make all my money. You bet on Chiefs futures and playoffs. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? The NFC or the AFC? AFC. Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes. Tonight, there is a good game, though, college football-wise. Yeah. Boise State and UNLV. I thought it was hilarious. We were talking about Alshon Gentry this week about the Heisman. His props to get over 175 yards rushing, -110.
Oh, my.
That's unreal, man.
Let me ask you this, just from let me tell you something about college football. Yeah. Are you rooting for UNLV in this game so there's chaos in the round? I am. I always root for that. I don't have a dog in the fight, right?
No.
So
sit back and watch the world burn.
Yeah. I think it'd be great. You're not.
No,
I'm
rooting for Ashton Gentry. I want to see him in the playoffs. Okay, I want to see him up against a great team. You know, that's what I want.
See if he's really that good or if he's just playing against the Mountain West.
That's Amore.
Hey, 31 years ago today, there was a Sports Illustrated cover that came out. Listen to this cover. And I want to get your reaction right now. Can the NFL be saved? 10 ways to revive a boring league.
Wow.
People forget the NFL wasn't what it was.
When was that?
31 years ago today. So you're talking about 1993, right before the baseball strike. You know what revived the NFL? Baseball, even.
That's like in the middle of the Dallas Cowboys dynasty or the start of it.
And it's a picture of some Jet on a knee, like with his head down.
Tebow?
So that hasn't changed.
He was a Jet, right?
Yeah, for like 2 seconds. Yeah.
Who was?
Tebow.
Oh, Tebow. Mm-hmm. I thought you said Debo. I'm like, I don't think Debo.
He could be a Jet. San Francisco might blow that up.
Jeez.
Yeah, they should. I really think they should. I saw something from San Francisco yesterday saying, we're not touching anything. This is ridiculous to have these No, it's not. It's not ridiculous. You got to realize when your window's open, you also have to realize when your window's closed.
The key with the NFL is you got to stay ahead of the curve. And there's nobody that's done better than that than Andy Reid and Brett Veach.
Yep.
And Chase Daniel said something interesting before we get to Mitch Holtis here in about 4 minutes. Chase Daniel said something interesting yesterday about the Chiefs and the way they win games.
You know what a lot of people aren't talking about, and I like what you brought up because I agree with you that it is the final score. They're winning, and most of these plays are going their way. It's not luck. It's details. But what also helps the Chiefs and Mahomes, I think, and a lot of people aren't talking about this, is that they've played so many extra football games since Mahomes has been the starter. Mm-hmm. They've played 18 playoff games since Mahomes has been a starter. That's a full season of football games, and playoff games are normally really close and harder. So they're really used to all these close games. They feel comfortable in it. Patrick Mahomes is at a point now where I feel like Tom Brady is out there and you're just going to win the game. And that's saying a lot because Brady has got a lot of rings. I mean, just to put it into context, 18 playoff games from Mahomes. The next closest is 12, and it's the Niners. Your Niners. 18 playoff games extra, and they're close and they're tight. They're detailed.
When they talk, you listen. So you know it's what like, mean? What's that thing of Batman with the bang? He said, "Oh, you want to go into the dark? I was born in it. They born them one score game. Born in that."
It's a good Bane reference. Look, that's what you're going to play in the playoffs. The Chiefs, again, we said this 2 weeks ago. They played more games than anybody in the NFL in the last 3 years. It's not even close. Mm-hmm. They know what they need to do. They're doing it. when you travel to the same destination every summer, you go to your lake house every single summer, you don't care if you're the first one to get there. You just know how you get there. And that's exactly what the Chiefs do. They know how to get to the lake house.
Yeah,
they know that the night before, they can take their time packing. They know that they leave at a certain time. They're going to beat rush hour traffic. And they know exactly where they're going to stop and get a little meal. And they're still going to get there with plenty of time on the first day to have a nice little afternoon swim session. And they're going to get to where they need to get. And they're going to do it flawlessly.
I always stop in tightwad.
There you go. And with the Chiefs this year, it's just keep winning games. And you heard the Dan Campbell audio where when he was talking to the Lions. Hey, I don't care who's here or who's not here. You just keep winning. That's what's important. Just keep winning. Yes, I'm like all of you. I would love 35-3. I would love 42-14. But what I would love more is a three-peat.
Well, and that's correct. And I mean, we've said it now for a long time. It doesn't matter how you win. And what we've also said for a long time, and thanks for listening, Chase, is that these close games are more important to find ways to win close games than it is to win in a blowout. Like, winning in a blowout, whatever, fine. We celebrate. We have fun. We get excited about that. But are you really gaining anything from winning in a blowout? Yes, you'd like to see it. It feels good. But at the end of the day, where are you going to learn more? Winning a close game, figuring out ways to win, or blowing somebody out? What's going to mean more in the postseason? Winning a close game in October, November, December, or blowing somebody out 35-0? Like, to me, these close games are exactly what playoff games are about. They've had to figure out how to win games, and that's what you have to do in the postseason. They're getting a great dress rehearsal for the playoffs right now.
Stay focused, Dusty.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
That's right. One of the best sports voices you'll ever hear in your entire lifetime, and your unborn children have yet to hear it, but they will eventually. Mitch Holthus is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center, brought to you by GEHA as well. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Stay focused, Mitch. How you doing on a Friday, buddy?
Hey, what's up, focus? Stay focused there, boys.
That's
and
right.
Especially you, Dusty. Cameron Black is the blind sportscaster. If you follow that story, he's from Oklahoma, but he moved here. You mentioned about having, like, children in the womb listening.
Mm-hmm.
He would hold up his phone to his unborn child in the womb of his wife, and now that child is a big Chiefs fan. So it's the proverb 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go,
nice.
And when they're old, they won't depart from it.
So
it's a ha-ha, there you go, but yeah.
Mitch,
in the womb, they can listen.
I can tell you this. I wasn't in the womb. I was out of it, but my dad would probably be embarrassed that I tell you this. When we would watch Chiefs games when I was a kid and they were losing, we would go to the car in the driveway and turn you on to listen to it, because every time we did that, the Chiefs won. So not only that, like, I was raised that way as well. So now you're just going to continue to do that. And I'm almost a 40-year-old man. So it's continuing to do that. So just keep being the voice and they'll keep winning.
It's funny you say that, because last year during the Dolphins playoff game, I'm sitting on the couch because I was too, you know, chicken to go out to that freezing cold game. And my daughter's with me and it's just the two of us. And she goes, can we please turn the people on the TV off and put on Josh, Mitch, and Damon? They're much better.
There you go.
And so we did.
There we go.
And sat
your
there and
daughter
listened.
Said that?
Yes, she did. She's 15.
Your daughter said that?
Yes, she did. She's
the wisdom
15.
Of you.
I know. Well, I mean, she's around me. She's very, very, very smart, you know. But 15 on Sunday. And I told her, I said, on Monday, you'll officially be closer to 20 than you are to 10. You talk about blowing somebody's mind, Mitch.
Well, yeah, and then get ready for weddings and all that stuff. Oh, so you just tell that girl she can do whatever she wants.
That's exactly okay. What I tell her every day.
Mitch,
she can have whatever she wants for Christmas.
This is the Wild Wild West shootout this Sunday, I believe. But there's a defense on the opposing side that might have a way to say something different about that, in my opinion.
In all the base subjects, Dusty, of defense, the Chargers are on the honor roll, are getting A's in all of it. They're number one in scoring defense. That's the biggest subject. They are second in the league in red zone defense, second and third down defense, third in red zone defense. This group is way better than the team that we played in week 4 They've got guys emerging like Lule Tuipulotu, who's got, seven or eight sacks and 12 quarterback hits just in the past 5 weeks, seven sacks and 12 hits. So I'm telling you, they got dudes from the front, back, side to side. This is a really good Charger defense.
How many similarities, how much similarity do you see? Like Jim Harbaugh's first year took a good team that wasn't good because their coach sucked and basically took the same players and has turned them into what they are now, which is a legit team. It's kind of reminiscent of Andy Reid coming in 2012 and taking those six Pro Bowlers from that 2-14 team and flipping it around and going 11-5.
That's an awesome question. Now, this
Thank
is
you.
The global question. Yeah, Dusty, give him a fist pump. It's a global question, but it's one that's pertinent for Sunday night. I mean, the micro, we know what's at stake. Chance to win 9 straight AFC West titles, which is crazy. But if the Chiefs lose this game, there's no way they can clinch in Cleveland. So this gets really gnarly if the Chiefs lose this game. But the global perspective here is that Jim Harbaugh has really done what Coach Reid did in 2013. Now, Coach Reid did more with less. I mean, this was a better roster that Jim Harbaugh brought into play. But just look at the Chargers and what they've done and how they've got to 8-4. Rock-hard defense. 10 opponents have scored 20 points or less. But offensively, he told Justin Herbert, do not turn the ball over. These guys had 6 giveaways the whole year, and Herbert has 1 pick the whole year. In fact, if he has 15 pass attempts, which he will, and no interceptions, he'll tie the all-time NFL record of Tom Brady of 11 straight games with those marks. I mean, he's gone 305 passes, Justin Herbert, without throwing an interception. So what Harbaugh did was purge the giveaways from these guys and then built this defense. Very similar. Go back and look at the 2013 Chiefs and look what they were giveaway takeaway. Actually, 13, 14, 15. They were at or near the top of the league. So Jim Harbaugh has brought in his culture to the Chargers and made them viable. Same thing that Coach Reid did back 12 seasons ago.
That's wild to think about. 305 straight passes without an interception. And I immediately go, okay, I heard Trent McDuffie say this week the secondary kind of wants to get their swagger back a little bit, whatnot.
Yeah,
I'm thinking to myself, maybe this is the week where we finally get that big interception by Trent McDuffie and end the streak by Justin Herbert.
I'm going to go crazy if he gets a pick six on his first ever NFL interception.
I know.
And you know it's coming. You know it's coming. But to even just flip the field, these guys have more 3-and-outs. Only Denver has more 3-and-outs. Now, that's somewhat skewed to the beginning of the season. That's not been the case in the last several weeks. But flipping the field, getting them off the field, is a big deal in this game. If you can't turn them over, then neutralize them where they're not controlling the tempo of this game. And they're able to do that. If Ladd McConkey plays, and it looks like he is, he's another Georgia Bulldog that is influencing the AFC West, and he's a chain mover. He's like Lance Rensel from the old days of the AFL, or he's the new Keenan Allen. So, again, on the offensive side, you got stuff to deal with, but it is nuts that Herbert has gone over 300 passes and not thrown a pick.
Mitch, when you look at this offense of the Chiefs, Mahomes in his last 5 games, 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions with a huge question mark at left tackle. DJ Humphreys comes in to kind of patch that bleeding up a little bit. Is that the click away for the offense on this team?
Just takes a click, and I know I keep saying it, but if just one more click. I was talking with Matt Nagy about this yesterday. Just 1,001.5, and it's a touchdown to Worthy last week on that 3rd-and-2 play. Now, let's back up on Mahomes because I was monitoring you guys. Mahomes has 50 touchdown passes in December. That's crazy, too. December, 4th quarter, 3rd down. Look who's at the top or near the top of those categories. It's Mahomes, Mahomes, and Mahomes. And the other thing is the influence of D-Hop. I told you this last week. Well, here's another one. Ever since D-Hop arrived, Before Brett Veach was able to get the deal done with DeAndre Hopkins, Pat had 6 touchdowns, 8 picks. Since then, Pat has 13 touchdowns, 3 picks. And the rest of this offense is starting to kind of adjust and move and get kind of put together. And Pacheco's part of this, the tag team, WWE tag team, tag out and beat the guy over the head of the chair with Kareem Hunt and Samaje Perine. You're seeing Gray come on. But just one more click could mean a world of difference for this entire offense.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Mitch Holthus, as we talk to the voice of the Chiefs here on a Friday. The tick is there, and I think it gets fixed with DJ Humphries. That's just kind of the way I'm perceiving it. But I also think the passing game gets fixed if they're able to effectively run that football. You know, if you're able to run the football and do it effectively with now this two-headed monster, now all of a sudden you can open it up through the passing game.
Yeah, and be creative in the run game, not just leads and ISOs. And they do that. They're more creative in the run game than they get credit for. But even the jet sweep has kind of gone away here the last couple of weeks. And this is a team, along with the 49ers, maybe it's the Bosa boys, I don't know, but we've been able to run at least jet action or influence them, even if you don't give the ball to a Mecole Hardman or Xavier Worthy. At least you're influencing the outside. And Coach Reed taught me 12 seasons ago, you can block an edge rusher without blocking him, but you've got to influence that edge rusher. And it just hasn't been there the last couple of weeks. So I think creativity in the run game will also help there. I'm excited about DJ Humphries, but I think we need to all be just back up a second.
Okay.
I'm also cautious about DJ Humphries. This dude tore his ACL 11 months ago. He is a big human being. Not all ACL injuries are the same, and not all rehabs are the same. He has not been able to really go full speed because you don't do that at this time of year. There's no training camp. So I think for us to say this, he's going to be an immediate panacea is presumptuous. Now, am I excited to get him out there? Could he provide one more click on some plays? Yes, and I think that's where the excitement is. But I'm going to give the Surgeon General's warning here how – if he plays, how many snaps he plays, you honestly have to be ready for everything, including Tooney maybe going out there, either an emergency or rotation, or again, being creative. But I'm just tempering my excitement over DJ Humphries thinking he's going to play up to his 2021 Pro Bowl level right away against this team from the first second to the 70th play.
No doubt about it. Mitch, I'm going to do it one time.
Stay focused, Dusty.
Because I think this is going to be one of those shootouts, man. I know both these teams have good defenses. I know both these teams have tremendous quarterbacks and good head coaches. But, man, this is – I said it today and this morning. That game last night between Detroit and Green Bay was a blueprint of what we might see on Sunday night, because two playoff teams, a lot of playoff vibes here. Man, I rip my shirt off and get me to Arrowhead right now.
Well, let's go. That's where I'm headed. You can jump in with me.
Okay.
Yeah, and that cool new tat you got, you can show it off. Honestly, I don't know if it's going to be a shootout, but I see it as a shootout in a different way, where every single little bitty thing matters in a game like this. There's a playoff vibe to it. Let me give you an example. I think that game on Friday last week, we're still going to beat them by two scores. You know the biggest play in that game that changed the entire game? The 67-yard kickoff return by Amir Abdullah.
Mm-hmm.
It's 16-3 at that point. If you're gonna pin them back at the 30 or less, and they've got to drive 12 plays, I don't think they're gonna get Brock Bowers on the corner route for the touchdown if they're not that close. So it's going to be a two-score game. Every little thing matters. Every kick, every punt, every coverage by the gunner, every block by the bracket, how many penalties, what penalties, where do they happen. This is a playoff game. That's what this feels like, because it's a shootout, in my opinion, too, Dusty, from the standpoint of just how the most minute detail could decide this game. That's where these two teams are at. In this first week of December.
Do you think the defense kind of gets their swagger back, kind of gets that vibe back that we had at the beginning part of the season? It seems like the last month or so they've been kind of just, you know, mid.
Don't you feel like it started with that last Tampa Bay drive?
Yeah.
I can still see, was it Troy Palmer running the over route for a whole bunch of yards, and Baker Mayfield ties the game, and ever since then it's been like, okay, what's going on here? They're getting some 20-plus chunks, and yes, this is the week to try to get some of that vibe back. And is it the chicken or the egg? Is it the confidence that brings the swag, or is it the swag that helps bring the confidence?
and it's a little bit of both. I think a Menahue helps it.
Mm-hmm.
But the secondary, I think, you know, we had Brian Cook on the Chiefs Kingdom show, and I kind of felt the vibe from him, and I've seen a couple of those guys this week. They're wanting to turn this and get this back to being an elite NFL defense. And they haven't been the last couple of weeks, just on virtue of the big play by the opponent. Starts with stopping a run, we know that. This is not an offense of the Chargers that, again, they scaled it down. Their offensive numbers are pedestrian or in the lower third because Jim Harbaugh said, we're going to go all the way back and start over. You're not going to turn it over. We'll play to the defense and run the ball. They lose J.K. Dobbins. That changes that. But McConkey has become like this mid-range chain mover guy that helps keep them on the field. The biggest thing is get these dudes off the field. And if you can get a takeaway, they're rare, but if you get them, they're gold in this game.
Yeah. Why do you think they kind of lost that vibe?
I just think when I think teams have got them in some situations where they've created some matchups that they like. I think it's you can lose it. I mean, 17-week season, you guys were right on. I was listening to you where you talk of this is a team that has played 7 years and six years and five. These third-year guys, the class of 22, who are primarily the guts of that defense, have played 3 years and two. You always hit a lull or 4 years and three. You always hit a lull in a season, and I felt like they have been in that lull. And they're a click behind, just a half click of breaking on the ball. So it's a matter, I think, of all three levels being better in coverage, creating enough pressure, affecting the physics of the throw. You don't have to get sacks if you can get knockdowns. George Karlaftis has more passes defensed of any defensive end, this is the key caveat, of anybody in his first 45 games in the league.
Wow.
Well, knock down a pass. Affect the physics of a throw where it's incomplete. Cut down the separation gap. And I think, you know, Spags is looking at all of his coverages and matchups and potential matchups. They put this thing under a microscope. This is where the extra days help for this game. But it's all of that. I mean, it's all of the above with this defense. But, again, it's a snap away, I think, of getting their swag back and really doing some damage in this game.
All right, Mitch, I'm going to do my best to
stay focused, Dusty,
and get ready for Sunday night and have a great call. And we will talk to you again next Friday. And hopefully this team is crowning their ninth straight division title and, you know, just keep going on and on.
Just think about that. Let's repeat. The Chargers have 15 titles. The Broncos have 15 titles. The Chargers have 15 titles. The Chiefs have 16 titles. Mm. They get this one, 9 straight, 17. If you're doing the math, we only had 8. The others have been stuck on 15 since the end of the 2015 season.
Wow.
So a ninth in a row would be kind of cool. You're getting close to a decade of winning the division every year.
And next year, Mitch, you're going to tie the NFL record for making the playoffs 12 straight years in a row. Let that one marinate for a second.
Let's go. Telling you, mm-hmm. Dusty,
yep.
Head to the stadium right now.
Yes, sir.
We'll get you in. You can sit by the Hallmark guy. The actor from the Hallmark movie and sit at the 50-yard line and just stare at it for 2 days.
Hell, I might kiss him if they win that game, too. All right, Mitch.
Well, he's a very good-looking man.
All right, Mitch, you have a good
on
call.
That note.
Yeah, I'll talk to you next week.
See you, boys.
See you, Mitch.
Mitch Holt is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center, and also brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, there was a graphic of the best college quarterbacks of all time. I don't know if Mac agrees to it. I will have to find out on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Do I want to go against Texas now in the SEC championship? And I know.
Oh, you want to go against Texas?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think they're going to win. There's some bull crap going around with this game. According to ESPN, Texas mascot Bevo was not permitted to travel to Atlanta for the SEC championship. The size required for an enclosure large enough to house Bevo XV, who is more than 1,700 pounds with a horn span of 58 inches, was the issue, according to the SEC spokesman.
Yeah, there's no room on the sidelines is what they're claiming for a cow. Yeah,
in the Georgia Dome.
Right.
Which can't fit him.
Which is ironic. Now, ironic's the wrong word to use. Texas is the newcomer to the SEC this year. In their first year, they're playing for the SEC championship against legendary SEC member Georgia, between the hedges, right? And that game's in Atlanta.
Georgia?
They're trying to fix this game against Texas. And I'm not one of these people that roots for the University of Texas at all, right? But I will say this. I am now rooting for Texas. I hope Texas spoils the SEC party. I hope they go in there and destroy Georgia, because the Southern gentlemen that they are with their bolo ties are trying to screw Texas. That's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to screw Texas because they're the newcomer to the SEC. And when they're having their country time lemonade in the South, regaling tales of how great they are, they can't have the newcomer in their first year. You know what I'm saying? Win the SEC.
I do declare.
We are not having a newcomer win a conference.
If Mike Binkley sounds like John Gruden, his Southern gentleman sounds a lot like camp cliches.
Could be the same person. I don't know.
Who knows?
Texas -3 in that game against Georgia. So Georgia +3.
Okay.
Over under 49.5. You want to talk about watching the world burn? Texas losing would make a lot of things interesting.
Would it? Yeah, would. But you know what? Texas winning would really make the SEC old guard very upset.
It would be
It'd
upset.
Make me upset.
Yeah. Why? Because you're an SEC old guard.
SEC guy.
Yeah, that's right. We can't have this newcomer come in here and win our league.
It's Tennessee back, man.
Like UCF winning the Big 12. We ain't having any of that.
No.
Agree or disagree with the head coach of the Illinois Illini?
You know, some of these, it's National Signing Day, but you know, a lot of places is National, you know, Bank Day, right? Like they just use money and they buy their class, right? Team I'm on, I know what we spend in the revenue in NIL. I know that our number and where it's at, and we're playing schools that are 3-4 times that money. You're talking $20 million on a roster. So there's some teams that are trying to get into college football playoffs that have spent, you know, over $20 million and they still
just
can't
say Ohio
get in.
State.
And I know we're at, you know, basically 25% of that and we're knocking on the door. That's why I get excited about going forward. If we all kind of use the same checkbook, I get really excited about where we can go.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen. It won't happen.
They get a governing body in football that sets up all these rules.
Good luck with that. Right. We just got NIL, and it's about 50 years late.
Well, yeah, I mean,
maybe that's a stretch. But I mean, you know, there's a reason why that this is here. You're what, like 3 or 4 years into it, and you're like, well, if we have the same checkbook, hell, if the Royals have the same checkbook as the Yankees, we'd have Bobby Witt Jr. and Juan Soto hitting 2 and 3 in the lineup.
Yeah, so what he's saying basically, though, is what we all want for baseball. We want a salary cap, right? And so he's saying that for college sports. I don't hate that. It's what we love about the NFL. Everybody has an opportunity, you know, to compete. But yeah, that's going to be the number one problem of the NIL. Coaches are going to get ticked off. It's going to burn people out because they can't pay as much. He's not wrong. Like, I don't like when he says we all were just using money to buy classes and all this. That reeks of jealousy right there. Mm-hmm. That's a sore loser right there.
He's knocking on the door
saying that kind of stuff. But he's not wrong to say, hey, if we're going to do this, why don't we have the even playing field? Because that works in the NFL. It's what we hate about baseball. The salary cap, right? But in football, everybody's on the same playing field in the NFL. Everybody has a chance. So you know what? You've got the opportunity in college right now to really create your own rules. Why not sit down and do it right? Give everybody the opportunity to be on that same playing field. Oh, you know why? Because it's uncomfortable for the old guard that's always been used to cheating. And now they can, you know, cheat legally. And then you're going to put restrictions on cheating legally. They don't want that. They don't want Bevo at the game.
Text line makes a great point for the 913. I don't want to hear about not having money from someone with a Big Ten TV contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, man.
Or somebody who's making $4 or $5 million a year to coach a football team.
Or somebody who's going to have a couple winning seasons and then go take a head coaching job at a big school and have a big paycheck.
Right, exactly. Like, Brian Kelly complaining about the NIL this week.
Oh, that guy sucks.
He's one of the worst people in sports, isn't he?
He lost all his athletes when he did that cringe dance with the revolving cameras.
That one and then faking the Southern accent. Like, I just did a better Southern accent than Brian Kelly did, right?
Me and my family.
My family.
Oh,
I,
I mean, I do declare. That's all you had to say, and you'd be you'd be in.
Or
you lived in Tennessee.
Yourself.
Is that something they like?
Very accurate.
How many times do people say, I do declare?
Oh, daily. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Mac literally used to party with the hot Tua girl. So
she's in trouble now, I think. Didn't she have some bad crypto or something?
She stole all my money. Yeah, she influenced people.
Oh, God. If you're following the hawk to a girl for financial advice, that's you.
Bob told me to do heroin. Now I'm an addict.
Yeah. Right.
Said it's cool the first time.
Well, the hawk to a girl said I should invest. Oh, that's who you're taking your investment advice from. Dumbass.
We go to that from the Pookies of the all time list of college quarterbacks, 1 through 10. Joe Burrow, number 1. Tim Tebow, number 2.
See, I would put Tebow ahead of Burrow.
Me too.
Michael Vick, number 3. Peyton Manning, number 4. Vince Young, number 5. 6 through 10. Number 6, Cam Newton. Number 7, Roger Staubach. Number 8, Joe Montana. Number 9, Dan Marino. Dan Marino should die in hell. And number 10, Johnny Manziel. Anybody that we don't have on that list that should be? And is there any number that
Chase
should be reversed?
Daniel.
All time.
Jameis Winston comes to mind.
Yeah.
Second player to win the Heisman as a freshman. Incredible season. Won the national championship at Florida State. I'd consider him a top 10. I'd consider that.
What about Michael Bishop?
I mean, he's not better than these guys.
You would know better than me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud of some of the good ones. And, of course, the one that's obviously left off the list, Todd Reesing. I mean, how he's not on that list.
That guy used to go to frat parties and spit chew on the floor.
Yeah, I'm biased, but I'd have Johnny higher than 10.
I would have Johnny higher than 10, too, but he only did it for that 1 year.
I think there's a name on here that I think should be, and I think that's RG3.
Oh, that's a good name.
I thought he was impressive at Baylor. Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. You could probably have an argument for Lamar, maybe Baker.
Baker could be on that list, yeah.
Good college careers. I mean, I know there's a lot of championships. I mean, Michael Vick was just absolutely fun to watch. Like, that was like really the first real college football memory I kind of had, was like watching Virginia Tech run the option and just watching him just be a just freak athlete, and then seeing it happen in Atlanta. I still think one of the greatest plays I've ever seen in NFL history is Michael Vick in the playoffs against the Vikings splitting two defenders to where they hit each other.
Yes.
Because of just raw athleticism. I was just like watching that game as a kid. I was like, I need that jersey and everything that comes with it.
Who was Randy Moss's quarterback at Marshall?
Chad Pennington.
Was it Chad Pennington? Wow. That wasn't who I was thinking of, though.
But
you're right. Chad Pennington did play at Marshall, but that wasn't who I was. I don't know who I'm thinking of now.
And then Byron Leftwich was there, and they carted or they held.
That's
up
who
to the
I was
line.
Thinking of. Byron Leftwich, yeah.
And when he had the broken leg, and he still played.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Richards going, man, what did I say?
Yeah.
Whoops. You think Johnny Manziel should be ranked higher?
Yeah, I do. I mean,
like top 5, above Vince Young.
I think
ahead of Cam Newton.
I mean, it's hard to make a case for him to be really above anybody else on that list, though, you know?
Yeah.
Because Marino would have gotten drafted higher, but he was a party boy at Pittsburgh, so they were afraid.
Yeah, they were afraid. But Manziel had
in his first year. Yeah.
Manziel had himself an exciting season, though. I mean, that was a can't-miss, like...
That Alabama game still a classic.
Alabama game is one of the greatest college games I've ever seen.
I mean, insane.
God, it was so good.
I ran around my house shirtless when he won the Heisman. I was so excited.
I thought you were a Texas guy.
Oh, I'm an Aggie. Giggum was. Go Vols.
Manziel might have been naked when he won the Heisman Trophy.
He may not know when he won the Heisman.
Naked.
Oh, did anybody party better than Johnny Manziel?
Yeah, Troy Aikman. I mean, Dan Marino.
Yeah, but that was a different era where we didn't know what was going on. We saw everything with Johnny Manziel.
Everything.
Like, the whole thing is just...
I mean, Baker got housed in college. He, like, got out of college and then ran from the cops and hit a guardrail.
I mean, I heard stories about Johnny Manziel.
Matty Mock partied harder than Johnny Manziel, probably.
Probably, yeah. Like... There was a story about Johnny Manziel. I don't know that I should say that. Probably not. We'll get somebody out to talk about it if they want to.
Coming up on the other side, best segment we do on the show every week. We get into the script of what will happen Sunday, and which will probably not ever come close to what's happening on Sunday. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.